Access number 30646, Mr. Alan Campbell, Rail 4. Now, we're talking about when you were at number 7 training regiment, doing your basic training at Catterick.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about how you got on with the lads. How did you get on with the instructors, the training NCOs? What was it like?
Got the usual racking. Everybody was picked on by the instructors. Nobody was sorted out as a special victim.
They didn't bully...
Mostly done good-natured.
They didn't bully individuals then, to bully?
No.
And was there a lot of shouting or even swearing, or was it good, you know, how bad was it?
All good-natured banter, if you like to put it that way. But we didn't answer the NCOs back.
Did they know the stuff? Were they good at the job?
Oh, yes. Because they was permanent instructors. Now, I'll get back to that very shortly.
Now, what about the officers? Did you see much of your officers at that stage?
No, not too. I think we only see them for a barrack room inspection or an inspection on the square to see how we were getting on with our dress and how we were coping and what we was doing with it.
So you didn't see much of
not
them?
Not too much of them, no.
Now, what would you do in the evening? I mean, you spent a lot of time preparing your kit, but was there a canteen or anything?
Oh, there was a canteen.
What did that offer?
You was only allowed to go when you were told. Nappy break. And then...
What was it like in the canteen? What did it offer you as a young lad? You didn't drink, did you, sir?
Oh, certainly not. Cups of tea. Cakes, what we call graveyard or graving stones that had... currents in them, but they was old as graving stones and things like that. All the usual things. But
was there any darts or
billiards? Well, there was
for
people who wanted to do it, but you were so glad to sit down that you had nothing that you had to do at the moment. That was your time. That was your time.
So you were happy just to sit there?
Yeah, and talk. How we were coping and different things like that.
Now, what about, did you do guard duties on basic training?
Oh, yes.
Tell us about guard duty then.
I don't think I did guard duty.
Not on basic training, all right. Anything else you did in
basic... At number 2 regiment,
right. We'll come to that in a minute. Anything else you did with number 7 training regiment? Any other things you remember? You were only there a month or so, you reckon?
Yeah, just for a month.
Right, so that would be...
We gave them the rudiments of the training.
Just September to October, 51 then. Yeah. Now, was there a passing out? I know there was, because you started telling me. Tell me about the passing out parade then.
Well, the blokes that was fit enough out of our troop were lined up, and we had to go through a series of drill movements, watched by the RSM and the officer, ISE, and... Because there was like an actual winning troop who had to be the winning troop, which we weren't, as I say, sorry. and that was it. But we did our pass out, and then we was told what regiment we was going to.
Now, you were going to number 2 regiment.
Number 2 regiment.
Royal Signals.
Where
were they at?
They was about a quarter of a mile down the road, march away, if a bit more than that. We had to go down near Camp Centre, what we call Camp Centre.
So still at Catterick Camp?
Oh, yes. Catterick is a very, very big place.
And which lines were you in?
There, I was at Mons Lines.
Now... What you were going as a linesman, is that right?
Yes, a linesman B3, which was to do with laying cable, erecting cable, putting in field telephones.
Now, when did you get your trade training on that then? You got it with the regiment, did you?
Got that with number 2 regiment.
You didn't do any of that with number 7?
No,
right. Now, tell me about your training as a linesman then. How do they start?
Well, you were given your basics again. You were shown a field telephone, its capabilities.
Which type was it? Was it D3 still or what?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, that's fair enough. So what sort of telephone?
But they was batteries. You had to use the batteries. And they was power ringers and all the rest of it.
What do you mean by a power ring? They don't have them anymore.
Well, it built up the power. When you run through, like, you know, that would build up the power for you to send a message.
You mean you'd have a thing to do?
Not continually. You could ring through with that, or, yeah, as I say, with the power ring, you use that to sort of build up the power, because that was where you learnt about resistance in the lines and what sort of cables to use, the weight of the cables to the span and all that sort of thing.
So you learned how to use telephones. Now, what about laying lines? What were the different methods of laying lines?
Well, it was all according how many lines you had to lay. That came at a later stage.
But what were the basic methods?
The basic method was you would get two stakes or two drums with a crowbar and a barrel. A barrel of cable would be, say, Don 8 or Don 10. It would be two ply for a mile. And when you was pulling that, you would get tugs on the line. You had to sort of make back so that those in front couldn't pull that and break the tension on that line and break it. So you had to make back. What we call make back, which tie back and then carry on. When you got there, you was out of line, then you would give the tugs to stop, and then you would reset up again.
Now, what did you do to go across things? Did you just lay it on the ground, or did you put it up, or what would you do?
Well, I did that, and I was called so many things because this wasn't in our basic training or our trade training. It was later training.
Oh, no, we'll leave it there. Just tell me what. Yeah, keep to what you did in your trade training.
You had what they call MAL poles, multi-airlines or whatever they like to call them, which was 2 8-foot poles. One was a female and one was a male. You stuck one in there, so they give you a 16-foot span. So now it's very hard to judge cable at that rate. So I worked it out, you would lay a pole on the floor, you would take sufficient cable up to the end of there, make off on the top of that pole, and then you would take your span of cable across the opening or whatever it was.
A road or
something. A road or whatever. Make off on the next pole and do the same amount as that to come down onto the floor again.
By make off, you mean tie it up?
Yeah, tie it up. You had to sort of plait that in to the used cable for that. You've done like a plait on the cable so it held it, it wouldn't slip. And then you just carried on, as I say. You used to use a jumper, what we call a jumper, which was
now, what's a jumper?
That was like a solid iron post that you hammered into the ground, and then you put your poles in that hole, and then you would smack that down so that they was firm. It's all training purposes.
Any other equipment? So you've got the laying lines, use of poles and the jumpers.
We used to have to be taught how to splice wire.
Now,
join cables.
So how do you do it? How do you splice wire together?
Well, you would open the ends of the cable and you would fit it into each other, so. And then you would take the first cable, you would lay the rest of the strands down straight, and you would take that first strand and wind that round until you was tight. You would tack that in tight. Then you would take the next strand and you would do the same. So you came down into a, what would you call it, like an actual socket. So where you started off with four strands or five strands, you come down to one. So it was all plaited in round that upper line so that it held.
Anything else?
We was talking about the batteries.
Tell me about the batteries. What type of batteries are they at that time?
Well, they was just dry batteries or dry,
is that like in
dry cell batteries.
In a car now?
Yeah.
But
dry cell batteries.
What did you have to learn about them?
Well, we had to learn, like, your signals are getting fainter, you give a signal, you change your batteries and carry on from there and see how you carry on from there. As I say, you was taught the resistance to the lines, whatever you was using, and it was just sort of basic training. If you came out of the signals as that, you could get a line on the GPO as easy as anything, which a lot of the fellas, instructors were ex-GPO boys who started off as boys.
Now, what about, did you practice, did you have anything to do with switchboards that in that early day?
No, the only thing we did with switchboards, because operators were told how to do that, but we had to run lines into them and we had to fit lines up. We had terminal counters, which was their pairs of terminals. So if you run a line to it and you was called dog's body number one, you would put on it DB1. So they, when you run that line and that flap dropped, they would answer it DB1, and that would be marked on the flap.
So, would you label them on the switchboard?
We had to do that.
So, you'd label the lines on the switchboard?
That was part of our job when we was, times when we were drawing.
What about laying line? You've talked about laying line by hand. What about laying it from backs of lorries and things? Or is that later?
We did the same thing. We would set up a reeler cable on a drum on the back of a lorry, and we would go along at a pretty fast walking pace. There'd be men on the lorry watching the drum. The men walking behind would either erect it, the cable, or they would put it in the cable and cover it over as best as they could.
Did you ever dig the cable in?
No, that was a different type of lines. That was what they call UG linesmen.
Underground or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you remember learning about the job of linesman? You've done pretty well.
I think that's about all I could tell you about that until I got abroad.
That's fair enough. Now, so you learn it. What other duties do you have with Number 2 Regiment? You know, you're there at Kirkpatrick.
We was doing coming up with our final exams. And there was four of us picked out to be drill instructors.
Now, why were you picked out? Were you good at it then?
I suppose we caught their eyes. And then we was told what we was going to do. The rest of our troop was all dispersed. Most of them went to Germany. Myself and the three other fellas, we were mixed in with another detachment of fellas that had the same experience. We were due to be instructors. And of course, we was being put through our paces and we was all cussing and blinding. Nobody wanted to stay at Catterick. Nobody wanted to be instructors.
Why not?
Well, it's a mind boggling job when you do the same thing day in, day out, screaming at recruits. You get rid of them and then you would get another lot in and then you would start all over again until you was finally nicked him up from the army.
So you
and
didn't
he was
fancy
never
it.
Ever posted out. You stayed at Catterick the whole time.
Now hang on, just before we go on to the next bit, because I've sensed you're going to move away from Catterick, what was life like with Number 2 Regiment? What was your accommodation like there?
It was pretty good. Well,
in Mons Lines?
It was basic. It was old barracks, as I say, from the 18 dot sort of thing, if you want to drive here. And we had about three wash basins and three toilets between a troop of blokes, so you can imagine what it was. You didn't get a lot of hot water, so you were mostly using cold water. The showers rarely worked, so you had to wash yourself down If you've got a drop of warm water, you have to strip yourself down in the bathroom and wash yourself down that way.
Now, did you have any other duties? Is that where you were doing some guard duties there?
Yes, I was picked for guard duty.
Tell me what guard duty was. If you're picked for guard at number two regiment.
You did what they call a barrack room guard, which was a 24-hour duty. And you was in the guard room. You stayed in the guard room for 24 hours. If there were any prisoners, you fed them. You marched them backwards, forward to the cookhouse to get their rations. And you just have to make sure they was bedded down for the night. And that was it. And then you would be doing, in between, you would do, I think if it was a six-man stag or six-man guard, one was picked out as a, what they call a stick man.
So now, what was that?
Stick man was like best dressed. He was like excused duties.
Now, did you ever win that?
No.
Now, any other duties or things you could be put on while you were there?
No, just the battery duty.
So most of the time you were learning your trade as a linesman?
All training.
And how long were you at Catterick that time, at Mons Lines, with number 2 Regiment? You'd gone there in about October.
Yeah, I think it was about, we were here Christmas here. I think it was about 2 months here, 6 weeks to 2 months.
Was it after Christmas or before?
Yeah.
After Christmas. And into January then?
As I say.
Now, so you were picked as a, so what happened? You were going to be an instructor.
I'll get back to that. I'll tell you this right now. All of us that were on that course all messed around. Because we didn't want to be instructed.
How did you mess about?
Loading magazines, spreading magazines, being dilatory in our result to the commands, slow, lethargic, whatever you like to call it, and any way to make it awkward. But when we were divided out and posted, I was actually told we'd failed the course. And I came back to number 2, well, I stayed at my own barracks. I did a guard duty or escort duty to Colchester.
What was that like? Is there a story there, or was it just a routine thing?
No, I suppose it was pretty routine. The bloke I got hooked up to was he slashed all his gear. Anyhow, we had to march him down to the guard room, draw new gear, bring him back, get him ready, because we was bringing him down under irons.
To Colchester?
Yeah.
That's a long way from Catterick.
From Catterick. So we had to begin with, we was all trying to get the opposite prisoners. We did want to get hooked up with him, but I did. So when we got to Darlington, and we had to walk to our train to Darlington, I laid my greatcoat over our arms so they couldn't see that we was handcuffed. And he looked at me and gave me a wink, and he said, "Thanks, mate." We got on the train from Darlington to King's Cross. I'd done the same thing there, walking across the... King's Cross to Liverpool Street. And I covered him up again, because while we was on the train, he was given the option, behave yourself or we cuff you to the seat. So you behave yourself. To Colchester, delivered him there. Got back to Liverpool Street. Alright. And our corporal said we would be allowed to call in home. So I brought a fella home with me from Sheffield. The chap who lived at Elton, he took the other chap home with him. Then we met up again, went back to King's Cross and met up. Back to Catterick. And from then, I was posted to Forac Act, which was at Warrington. Forac Act. Just put A.
Anti-aircraft regiment or battery?
We was on Western Command, but they went in ACACs because we did like the coastal defences.
But was it Royal Artillery? Were you a signaller attached to a Royal Artillery unit?
No, we were all signals, but we had to go to the artillery.
That's what I mean. It was number four battery or regiment.
Anti-aircraft, that's what it was, ACAC.
And where, they were at Warrington?
Yeah, Cheshire.
And you were going as what? As an ordinary signaller?
As a signalman. I could never make that out. You had officers saying, I say, signaller. You was a signalman. And that was educating men for you. And so, then...
So, when did you went there, what, January? Early 52?
Yeah, I was there 52. I was there January, February, March. About March. Because I remember two of my nephews was born while I was in the army. One was born the day after I went in. That was 51. And the next one was born in April. That's what I always remember.
And you were still at Warrington?
Still at Warrington. Well, I was actually up in Wales. We was doing, we'd take the TA regiment up there.
Now, all right, tell me, what was the situation at number four? Well,
I was just an ordinary signalman.
What were your duties then?
General duties, you would go out. If you were given a job, you would go out and do it. You'd go out and visit a gun site. You would check the terminal equipment, because we was installing the new equipment at the time. And also on the training ranges in Wales.
Now tell me about checking and installing the equipment. They actually had gun sites. This is regular, not TA.
Oh, yes. As it was called multi-telephone terminals. So if one line actually went out, you could pull the plug out and turn it round and put it in. So you'd still have communication.
Are these a new thing then?
They was then.
So how would you check and install them then?
Well, we were just installing them, and then we had to sort of do local checks on them from local points, terminal points, like, you know, through exchanges.
Were they difficult to install? How'd you go about it?
No, they weren't too difficult. It was... It was quite a pleasant job, because he was able to travel them around and he was meeting people.
Now, where were the gun sites? I mean, these are actual guns.
The actual gun sites were down all round the west coast of Liverpool. We used to go through to Liverpool, Birkenhead, Wallasey, New Brighton, and then we would go down into Wales.
So it's the northwest and Wales?
Yes.
And so that was one job.
Yeah.
Anything else you were doing?
Well, that was all I did until I was actually...
How many signallers were there then?
Oh, it was a complete troop of signals.
So tell me, what was the signal? So you're the signal troop. What was the composition?
Well, it was operators, linesmen.
About how many of each?
How many? I suppose...
Roughly, you know, not exactly.
Roughly, yeah. About... 80 in a troop, roughly.
80?
Yeah.
How many?
Don't forget you had officers, NCOs, you had permanent office staff running the your particular troop, because at the actual camp I was on, they actually trained the Manchester Regiment and the South Lancs.
What in?
They was infantry.
Trained them in what then?
Basic infantry. Incoming infantry, they was trained here.
This is at the Warrington camp,
yeah.
Is it? Well, did the camp have a name at Warrington? I should have asked. Did the Warrington camp have a name? Or
no,
was it just Warrington?
Warrington.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Peninsula Barracks. You've got to allow for a brain to sort of take up track now and again like that.
Absolutely. Same with me. So now, what were conditions like in Peninsula Barracks? What were your living conditions like?
Oh, it was totally different to Caprick. It was because you had chaps who'd been in the army quite a bit longer than you, chaps that was due for demob.
How'd you get on with them?
Very, very good. Very good.
Did you make any pals?
Well, you make friends. You don't make too much of a friendship because you never know what's going to happen. Which was, I suppose, really a good thing because I only, from Warrington, I was posted.
Hang on.
I only met two men, no. This is just, you don't need to write this down. I only ever met two men. Bobby, he came from called North Woolwich, and he got articled as a lighterman. Probably, forget his name.
Doesn't matter. And you met him at Warrington?
Yeah. And another one called Ronnie Bryant, he was a Lance Corporal, but he married a girl there, and he stayed at Warrington. Now.
And they were your mates?
They
or,
was.
Or friends, you know.
The only two men I met afterwards. Bobby, I met him down here in the cafe. He was a lightman having his breakfast. And the other chap, the first reserve I went on, I walked into the barrack room and this fella from Wilston, "Hey up, lad, how's the doing?" And I'm looking around, "Hey up, thee." And it was this fella that I was at Warrington with, a London boy. Not exactly a Cockney, but he was a North London boy, come from Wilsdon. But that's how he was talking, because he was living up here, so...
He'd got the accent.
He certainly picked up the accent, but they was the only two men I met.
Now, what about the NCOs? What were they like?
They were good.
In what way? What were you looking for in an NCO? What made them good?
The way I was treated.
So they treated you well?
They treated me pretty good, yeah.
How did you want them to treat you?
No, I didn't know. You didn't expect anything special because you wouldn't get anything.
So what
special.
Did you expect? What pleased
just
you?
Just to be treated decently. No bullying, no shouting, nothing like that. If I was wrong, I didn't mind being told I was wrong, which was 99% of the time. And that was it.
Now you said you were in Wales. What would you do in Wales? Would you go on exercise or just visiting the gun sites?
We were doing an exercise with the artillery.
Now tell me about that. What do you remember?
Well, they used to be firing out over the Cardigan Bay. It was actually at Cardigan, Aberporth.
Aberporth?
There was a rocket site there. So we was teaching TA signals. Bringing them up to scratch on their jobs.
How good were they? Were they any good?
It was pretty good, yeah. It was the TA regiments of Cardiff and Swansea. So that was that.
So you were just helping as an instructor, really?
Well, I suppose so, in a way, yeah. But getting back to the instructor, you don't have to write this down.
It's all right, carry on.
Getting back to the instructor part, when I was actually informed I was going to Korea.
Now, we haven't got to that yet.
No. I'll just tell you this quickly. All the men that had been on that training course, failed NCOs, was on that shipment for Korea. They were. We all walked into Newt Nabbot, and as we were bumping into each other, we were saying, "What are you doing here?"
Now, Newt Nabbot, what's this about?
That was our transit camp.
Okay, so when did they tell you you were going to Korea?
About, they told me, I think, in May, but you had to be 19. Now, I wasn't 19 till the June. So they sent me on embarkation leave. So that while I was on leave, I was 19, and then I was eligible to go abroad.